Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a grow house has been discovered in Donegal town and over €630,000 worth of suspected cannabis seized. Transport Infrastructure Ireland has announced €29.8 million for national roads and greenways in Donegal. The Irish government is being urged to meet with families of Uma bomb victims after it ruled out holding its own inquiry into the atrocity. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Aisling Kelly, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news this evening, Gardaí have seized over €630,000 worth of suspected cannabis following the discovery of a grow house in Donegal town. Searches were carried out at an industrial premises in the town yesterday. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The searches were conducted by the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit, assisted by local members from Ballyshannon District yesterday. During the search, a large-scale grow house was located with cannabis plants at various stages of growth. The drugs seized totaled an estimated €631,500 in value, comprised of 500 cannabis plants and 13.5 kilograms of cultivated cannabis herb. The suspected drugs will now be sent to Forensic Science Ireland for analysis. No arrests have been made at this time. Investigations are ongoing. Gardaí are appealing to anyone who may have information in relation to the grow house and seizure to contact the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit, the Gardaí Confidential Line or any Gardaí station.
Transport Infrastructure Ireland has today announced €29.8 million for national roads and greenways in Donegal. Of that, €3.8 million has been set aside for greenways. Councillor Patrick McGowan has welcomed the €3.4 million, which will go towards the ongoing improvement works at McGrory's Brae. Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConnog, meanwhile, says €2 million of today's announcement will enable the 10T projects to move forward.
Very important news today with the allocation of just under €30 million from the government towards our national roads and greenways in County Donegal this year. That means there'll be about €24 million spent on our roads, with an additional €4 million in developing the great work that's underway with greenways across the county, and then also €2 million allocated to ensure the continuing works in terms of preparation, planning and final works, planning works in relation to getting the 10T through all of the necessary processes to get to construction.
And what is the position on the 10T project? Is there any timeline at all? As we see, there are numerous calls for this to begin as soon as possible.
The next step now for the 10T is to move to the planning permission stage. The government this week gave approval alongside the funding commitment for the A5 of moving forward with the three 10T projects in our county. Shortly now, the Cabinet will also sign off on the business case so that the road goes to planning. And then hopefully over the course of the next year, it will be able to come through the planning process. And that means then it will be in a position to move on to tender process, to the tender stage. So over the last 3 years, 4 years, we've been doing everything possible in terms of all of the preparation, all of the planning, all of the design to move the three 10T projects forward as quickly as possible. And the next step now is moving to planning, which hopefully will happen in a reasonable time frame, which then can see those three projects, which will be so important to our county, move to tender.
€4.5 million of today's funding has been announced for the continuation of the N56 Letcher Illy to Kilrain works, but Glendies Municipal District Chair, Councillor Michael McClafferty, says more is needed.
All this funding is very welcome, it's coming, but here again in Donegal, we still want to see much more of it. Like, for example, Dunfanaghy, the Board of Land there, we need huge money there, huge investment there, but it's a start, it is a start, and it's good that TAA have favoured Donegal, particularly the Glenties area, and just under €4 million there, and that's much welcomed. And congratulations as well to all my other colleagues throughout Donegal who have successfully secured money as well as they in their respective areas and MDs. So we welcome that very much, Donna Marie, but at the same time, at the same note, much more can be done.
Meanwhile, a total of €3.5 million has been allocated for safety works at Ferry Glass and resurfacing works from Tullyrap to Ballyholy on the N14 Letterkenny to Lifford Road. Councillor Gerry Crawford says that's vital funding for a stretch which has seen too many collisions.
Anybody who uses that road will be very familiar with the hazards and the dangers there and the accident record on it. So this is very welcome news this morning of $2 million towards improvement works there and the $1.5 million for road resurfacing in the same area from there towards Ballyhooly. It's welcome news, and I'm sure it'll add to the road safety and the safety of all the users in that particular stretch of the National Primary Road.
The Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs is coming under mounting pressure to confront the Indian government as the trial of the man accused of the murder of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin continues. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has tabled questions to Micheál Martin, highlighting the fact that Fagata Bhagat, who is on trial for the rape and murder of the 27-year-old in Goa, India in 2017, has again been granted bail. Deputy McLaughlin says the case has already dragged on for too long.
It's just heartbreaking, really. It's almost 7 years now since Danielle was raped and murdered in India in the most appalling circumstances. And, you know, we have a situation where we have endless adjournments of the court case. We've had numerous circumstances where the prison that the accused has been held in could not locate him and made sure that he was brought to court for the court sitting. And, of course, all of this is just unbelievable distress, anguish for Andrea, Danielle's mother, and the extended family. And it comes to a point where we have to confront the Indian government in the strongest terms in the way that this family's been treated.
Randolph says it remains committed to Dunloe despite a number of imminent job losses. In a statement to Highland Radio, the company has confirmed 7 positions in the manufacturing engineering department have been provisionally identified for redundancy, but affected staff may apply, they say, for other positions for which Randolph are still recruiting for. The company says the redundancies are part of a structural review. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Asbaugh is seeking further clarity from Randox.
I've tried over the last week or two to make contact with Randox, and unfortunately I wasn't able to get to speak to those that I was hoping to, and appreciating that people are busy, because it was raised with me about last number week or two in terms of job offers, and now here we are today with the possible losses of 7 jobs, which by percentage is a huge percentage for a community like ours. And this is absolutely no reflection on to local management, but what is unfortunate about it is that taxpayers has funded a very successful business over many years in the figures of millions, a company that has profited massively over the beginning of the COVID period. And I would like to hear crystal clear why we are losing jobs, considering the fact that it was taxpayers' money that was invested into this company.
The Irish government is being urged to meet with families of Uma bomb victims after it ruled out holding its own inquiry into the atrocity. 29 people were killed when the real IRA bomb detonated in the County Tyrone town in August 1998. Yesterday, terms of reference were published by the British government for its public inquiry, resulting in fresh calls on the Irish government to hold its own. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says victims' families have questions they want answered.
I've requested a meeting with the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste with the Uma families, and I hope they accept my request and we'll be raising with them our concerns. After 25 years, families have suffered enough, and I think this process will help ease some of the pain they've suffered, but also help to get answers to the many questions that they have.
Meanwhile, members of Bloody Sunday families will not be prosecuted over their involvement in what police termed an unnotified parade last year. The families were reported to police on foot of an allegation that they took part in an illegal public procession to Bishop Street Courthouse on the 25th of August last year, ahead of a hearing involving Soldier F. A number of elected public representatives were also involved in the procession. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
The PPS has announced its decision not to prosecute members of the Bloody Sunday families. On August 25th last year, the families walked to Bishop Street Courthouse ahead of the recommencement of the criminal prosecution against Soldier F. A formal criminal complaint was made by Mr. Jamie Bryson to the PSNI's Assistant Chief Constable that the Bloody Sunday victims, their solicitors Kieran Shields and Fergal Shields, and their political representatives, who included Foyle MP Colm Eastwood, Foyle MLA Padraig De Largey and Councillor Christopher Jackson, all took part in an unlawful public procession to attend the Soldier F murder hearing. Kieran Shields of Madden and Finucane Solicitors, who's representing the families, says today's decision is a victory for common sense. He says it is their intention to lodge a detailed complaint on behalf of the families and wounded to the Office of the Police Ombudsman for Northern Ireland.
Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson claims the government has driven house prices over a cliff. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty and Taoiseach Micheál Martin clashed in the Dáil earlier today, again over housing. The Taoiseach accused Sinn Féin of voting against supports for young people seeking to buy their own homes and having just three pages on housing in its alternative budget, saying the party was sound and fury with no plan. The Cancorla was yet again forced to intervene during the heated exchanges.
Do you accept that you've missed the targets every single year that you've been in government? Do you accept that runaway house prices is locking out an entire generation? And do you accept that you need a new plan? Because we can't afford for prices to continue to go up this way. We can't afford for rents to continue to skyrocket. We can't afford for more children to be in emergency accommodation.
And where the hell is your plan? You've produced nothing in 4 years. Three pages in a 52-page budget document. Three pages on housing. Where is your plan, Deputy? You're all sound, noise and fury, and you have no substance on any of this. 33,000 houses were built last year. 33,000, which is in excess of the target set in Housing for All. The targets are being exceeded. But, Deputy, you have a responsibility. We understand that housing is the biggest issue facing the families across this country. We have never hidden that reality. But the supports we brought in place are enabling young people to buy the houses in this country. Do we want to do more? Of course we do. There is no plan to help young people. What your plan is, your plan through the chair, is to abolish supports to first-time buyers and undermine their capacity to afford new houses. That is the essence of your three-pager in your 52-page budget. You're all sound, pure bluster and no substance.
Look, please. This is becoming a regular routine on a Thursday. Can we just behave in a slightly orderly way, please?
Borders should not be a factor in the provision of healthcare services. That's according to a Foyle MLA who is calling on the Irish and UK governments to provide adequate addiction services in the Northwest. Padraig De Largey raised the issue with Stormont Health Minister Robin Swan. He says it's been 4 years since a commitment was given to deliver such a service.
Really, your postcode shouldn't decide, or which side of the border you live on shouldn't determine your access to addiction services in our region, because you look at things like the Northwest Cancer Service and the centre that's been set up there, it's changing the lives of people right across this region, and we have the opportunity to do that by working collectively and replicating this model of best practice for addiction services and for other forms of healthcare treatment. That's what I intend to do, that's what my party intend to do, and we want to work with others to deliver that.
The number of commencement notices received by Donegal County Council has increased 127%. In the first month of the year, commencement notices for 41 homes were issued, up from 18 units during the same period in 2023. Over 3,300 housing commencement notices were received by authorities across the country in January. The Department of Housing says that's an increase of 59% on the same month last year.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with rugby. Kieran Frawley will start at fullback in Ireland's Six Nations meeting with Wales on Saturday. He replaces his injured Leinster teammate, Hugo Keenan. Bundy Aki returns at inside centre with Stuart McCluskey dropping to the bench, and there's still no Gary Ringrose. Jameson Gibson-Park replaces Craig Casey at scrum half, while in the pack, Tadhg Furlong, Tadhg Birnie, Captain Peter O'Mahony and Josh van der Flair all return. And there will be a debut off the bench for Munster tight head Ollie Jagger. It's reported that both Peter O'Mahony and Conor Murray are to continue their careers with Munster. The 34-year-old's RFU contract expires in the summer. However, Munster are reported to offer new deals to the duo, which will be topped up by the RFU. Now to football. FAI President Gerry Cook has stopped short of giving his public backing to CEO Jonathan Hill. Both were part of an FAI delegation that faced a grilling from the Public Accounts Committee today. Hill told the committee that the €12,000 in excess payments he received for 2022 were the result of a throwaway remark in an email. It was also revealed that just under €1 million of the €33.7 million received from the COVID Resilience Fund was used to pay off a legacy debt. Fianna Fáil TD James O'Connor asked FAI Chair Tony Keohane if it was a tenable position to have the association's president not offering a full backing to the CEO.
I think as the chair of the board, this is a matter the board will be discussing all the learnings from this.
And what's your position as chairperson of that board?
My position as chairperson of this board is that I think it's regrettable that we're here discussing this issue, given the progress that's been made.
Donegal's Erin McLaughlin is in Florence with the Republic of Ireland women for tomorrow's meeting with Italy. The Kildaff native was added to the panel for the friendlies against the Italians and Wales as they prepare for the upcoming Euro qualifiers in April. McLaughlin plays her club football with Piemont United, who are currently in pre-season, where the players across channel clubs finish out their campaigns at club level in May. Erin says it's a great opportunity for the home-based players.
Yeah, I think it helps whenever you have a manager that believes in you and gives you the opportunity to grow as well. Without the opportunities, the likes of Freya, Jess and Alan probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to step up into the team, and myself as well. So, yeah, whenever you have that manager that believes in you, you feel better and you can grow as a player. Obviously, the girls are all in season at the moment and we're only in pre-season. We still have 2 weeks left of pre-season, so it is tricky trying to manage that as well. And I'll probably be training more than others today because I'm obviously in pre-season and they've played matches at the weekend. But I've been working hard over the off-season and obviously I've started off pre-season well, so I'm feeling confident and hopefully I can push on from here.
Institute can prepare for an Irish Cup meeting with Linfield after Ards failed in their appeal on Oisín Devlin playing in the second half during Stutt's 1-0 win over the Down club. They felt Devlin was ineligible because his name wasn't on Institute's original team sheet. The IFA Appeals Committee dismissed the appeal, which means Institute will take on Belfast side Linfield in the quarter-final of the Cup at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium on Sunday, March 3rd. To athletics, Roisin Flanagan of Finn Valley AC has been added to the Irish team for the World Indoor Championships, which take place next month in Glasgow. She has been reallocated a quota spot on the Road to Glasgow rankings. Flanagan will compete in the women's 3,000 metres and will come under the championship, having recently set an Irish senior indoor record over 2 miles at the Melrose Games, which were held in America. And snooker Mark Allen is a frame away from a Players' Championship semi-final. The Antrim man leads Gary Wilson 5-3 in Telford. Later this evening, Ronnie O'Sullivan plays Mark Selby. And finally, this week on The Score, we'll be looking ahead to the Donegal Armagh top of the table Division 2 clash with Eamon McGee. And the Donegal Hurlers battle with Tyrone, and we'll hear from Donegal captain Conor Gartland. While on the League of Ireland chat, Chris Ashmore is joined by former Finn Harps manager and captain Anthony Gorman. And we'll also hear from Harps boss Darren Murphy ahead of their first home game of the season against Cork City. It's all in The Score this evening, and that one starts just after the 7 news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. For weather now, a mix of sunny spells and frequent showers. Some will be heavy with a chance of hail and isolated thunderstorms. Highest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Gardaí have seized over 630,000 euro worth of suspected cannabis following the discovery of a grow house in Donegal town. Searches were carried out at an industrial premises in the town yesterday. Transport Infrastructure Ireland has today announced €29.8 million for national roads and greenways in Donegal. Of that, €3.8 million has been set aside for greenways. The Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs is coming under mounting pressure to confront the Indian government as the trial of the man accused of the murder of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin continues. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has tabled questions to Micheál Martin, highlighting the fact that Fagat Bhagat, who is on trial for the rape and murder of the 27-year-old in Goa, India in 2017, has again been granted bail. And Randox says it remains committed to Dunloe despite a number of imminent job losses. In a statement to Highland Radio, the company has confirmed 7 positions in the manufacturing engineering department have been provisionally identified for redundancy. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. We'll be back at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello. Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the Irish Grown Wool Council annual general meeting. But first this evening, Donegal farmers are being encouraged to apply for the 2024 Basic Income Support for Sustainability Scheme, known as BIS. The Department of Agriculture opened the application process this week. The Basic Income Support for Sustainability Scheme is designed to provide a direct income support to farmers to underpin their continued sustainability and viability. Well, farmers can also apply for the complementary Redistributive Income Support for Sustainability, known as CRIS, eco-schemes and other related schemes. The deadline for them is the 15th of May. And over the coming days, farmers will be receiving a BIS information pack in the post containing their maps and land details for this year. Farmers can apply for all elements of direct payments online. For many upland sheep farmers, it costs more to shear a sheep than they would get for the fleece. But there is a genuine belief that better times lie ahead in terms of the prices that will be got for all types of wool. Glenswilly farmer Phelan Molloy, who is the National and Donegal Chair of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, is a member of the Irish Grown Wool Council. Last Friday, it held its AGM in Athlone, and he's been telling me more.
Yeah, good evening, Chris. We had a very successful AGM, as you said, was held last Friday in the Athlone Springs Hotel. We had representatives of all the various stakeholders at the AGM, the representative from farming organisations, wool merchants, processors, research bodies, etc. So what was actually done on the day, there was the four subgroups set up just to oversee various aspects of the development of the woolen market. And I'm actually attached to the Research, Development, Innovation subgroup. Now, that subgroup actually would work closely in conjunction with the Munster Technological University and Shannon Applied Biotechnology Centre, just to carry out various research projects and to the various uses of wool. At the very beginning, we actually had done a good bit of background work into the chemical composition of wool. And it's, you know, what we're trying to promote now is greater product development based on that research on the chemical composition. I see great opportunities arising from using wool into the future, but quite clearly there's a lot of research to be carried out, and there's the issue of funding in that as well.
We hear a lot about sustainability, and so natural fibres are receiving more attention. They have unique natural properties, and for a county like Donegal, if there's an outlet there for more wool and at a decent price, this could make quite a significant contribution to the local economy.
Yeah, and that was one of our planks. We had three planks in our policy document: improving the financial return to farmers, creating local employment opportunities, and then replacing synthetic materials with natural materials. Like, wool is one of the most natural fibre you can get in a circular economy, you know, because the fact that it's biodegradable, I mean, it is the ideal material to use as part of the circular economy development.
Just update us as to what is the present market for wool, and what can people here in Donegal expect?
At the moment, the softer type wools, which will come from the low, you know, farming systems, you know, from Suffolk, Texel, those type of sheep breeds, now that's trading around about 20 cents a kilo. But wool from, you know, the mountain sheep, that would actually be down as low as 5 cents a kilo. Because of the shearing costs, it's a burden actually on the sheep farmers at the moment. our objective is to, you know, increase the value, the use and the value of wool, so at least that there's an economic return to the farmers. That's why we're focusing on a range of uses that can actually drive the demand for wool, and obviously that will drive the price increase.
Now, just on a not unrelated matter, I know you were at a meeting of the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association National Council, and one topic that doesn't seem to be going away at the moment is the various views on the whole acre scheme and where it's going. So what's the latest there?
Yeah, we actually have discovered in the last number of weeks that for farmers and the cooperation stream of the acres, now these would be mostly farmers that are farming on commonage land and that. The whole issue around turf cutting on mountains is an issue that we highlighted very early on, and the position that was agreed was that, say if there was a plot of turf being cut, that plot of turf would be mapped out and scored separately from the rest of the plot. But it's only come to our attention now in the last number of weeks that there was an added condition attached, and that is that there'll be a 100-metre buffer zone placed around that plot of turf. We've done a calculation that, say, a plot of turf 20 metres by 50, if you apply a 100-metre buffer zone around it, that actually can come to about 4.6 hectares, which is a fairly significant area of ground. Now, that would actually be, under the results-based scheme as the acres is, that would be scored separately, and then the rest of the plot would be scored. We have raised this with the minister, and we also have sought a meeting with the department. We had a long meeting in relation to it. It is seen as a major problem, and so far as it could significantly reduce the payments that farmers would be getting on commonages where turf cutting actually was taking place. There is a concern too, and because the fact that turbary rights would have been something that would have been allocated to householders in the past, some of the people that would be cutting turf on these commonages may not actually be farming them, but they still have a right to cut the turf, but that can impact then on the payments to the farmers. We're actually looking for maybe another meeting now with the minister and a further meeting with the department just to tease it out.
And finally, Feilemann, briefly, at your recent AGM here in the county, there were a number of motions passed, and one of them concern expressed about the National Parks and Wildlife Service buying up land. And what's the feeling on that?
There was actually a motion proposed at the AGM. It was carried. There was a statement earlier on in the year there whereby the NPWS would be seeking land for the extension of, say, national parks and that. The concern there is that because of the financial clout that NPWS could actually carry, that might drive that land out of the reach of local young trained farmers. So the motion was actually passed, and we are now going to discuss that with Donegal, members of Donegal County Council, and would also hopefully be making national policy that where a young local trained farmer would be interested in that land, that they would be given an opportunity to actually buy the land and farm it as an economic benefit for the future. Because if it goes out of the reach of those farmers, I mean, it's going to have a huge consequence from a viability of their farms, and the whole concern about rural depopulation and that is actually going to be an issue that comes into the equation as well. So that's something that we will be pursuing over the course of the next year.
And that was Feilemann Molloy, Donegal, and also National Chairman of the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association. Finally this evening, well done to our winners in the draw for a copy of Martin O'Sullivan's ACA 2024 Farmer's Handbook and Tax Guide. And the winners are Kathleen Kennedy from Dunlow, Tom Boyd from Carrickfinn, Anne McMenamin from Balbuffet, and Cathy Canan from Dunlow. And those books will be in the post shortly. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
the obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 22nd of February. The death took place on January 7th in London of Sandy Mickey, husband of Colm Gallagher, Letcher Brick, Glen Finn. Celebration of Life Mass in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glen Finn, at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Interment afterwards in Kilwarris Cemetery. The death has taken place of Bernadette, Bernie Porter, née Ewing, 478, The Curra, Crossroads, Killigordon. Remains reposing at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Maureen Maisie O'Brien, née Mortimer, Mean Rea, and formerly of Glenalla, Rathmullen, Donegal. Her remains will be received into St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, on Sunday evening at 6 to repose until Requiem Mass on Monday morning at 11, followed by interment in the adjacent cemetery. The funeral mass will be streamed on mcnmedia.tv. The death has occurred of David Lavery, Dundrain, Burnfoot. David's remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. And the death has taken place of Bernard Francis Doherty, Sleeve Bawn, Malin Head. Bernard's remains are reposing at his home. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral Mass for Bernard will take place tomorrow at 12 noon in Star of the Sea Church, Malin Head, followed by burial in Lag Cemetery, Malin. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the Malin Head Community Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Diabetes Ireland, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.